Part 4. The Titanic. May 1988. Chapter 37. In a measured and precise manner, the Soviet General Secretary, Georgi Antonov, lit his pipe and surveyed the other men seated around the long mahogany conference table. To his right sat Admiral Boris Sloyuk, Director of Soviet Naval Intelligence, and his aide, Captain Prevlov. Opposite them were Vladimir Polovoy, Chief of the Foreign Secrets Department of the KGB, and Vasily Talevich, Marshal of the Soviet Union and Chief Director of Soviet Security. Antonov came straight to the point. "Well now, it seems the Americans are determined to raise the Titanic to the surface." He studied the papers sitting before him a few moments before continuing. "An extensive effort by the look of it. 2 supply ships, 3 tenders, 4 deep-sea submersibles." He looked up at Admiral Sloyuk and Prevlov. "Do we have an observer in the area?" Prevlov nodded. "The oceanographic research vessel Mikhail Kurlov, under the command of Captain Ivan Porotkin, is cruising the salvage perimeter." "I know Porotkin personally," Sloyuk added. "He is a good seaman." "If the Americans are spending hundreds of millions of dollars in an attempt to salvage a 76-year-old piece of scrap," Antonov said, "there must be a logical motivation." "There is a motivation," Admiral Sloyuk said gravely. "A motivation that threatens our very security." He nodded to Prevlov, who began passing out a red folder marked Sicilian Project to Antonov and the men across the table. "That is why I requested this meeting. My people have discovered outline plans for a new secret American defense system. I think you will find it a shocking, if not terrifying, study." Antonov and the others opened the folders and began reading. For perhaps 5 minutes, the Soviet General Secretary read, occasionally glancing in Sloyuk's direction. Antonov's face went through a wide range of expressions, beginning with professional interest, to frank bewilderment, to astonishment, and finally, stunned realization. "This is incredible, Admiral Sloyuk, absolutely incredible." "Is such a defense system possible?" Marshal Talevich asked. "I have put the same question to 5 of our most respected scientists. They all agree, theoretically, that such a system is feasible, provided a strong enough power source is available." "And you assume this source lies in the cargo holds of the Titanic?" Talevich put to him. "We are certain of it, Comrade Marshal. As I mentioned in the report, the vital ingredient needed for the completion of the Sicilian project is a little-known element called byzanium. We now know the Americans stole the world's only supply from Russian soil 76 years ago. Fortunately for us, they had the ill luck to transport it on a doomed ship." Antonov shook his head in utter incomprehension. "If what you say in your report is true, then the Americans have the potential to knock down our intercontinental missiles as effortlessly as a goat herd swats flies." Sloyuk nodded solemnly. "I am afraid that is the fearful truth." Polovoy leaned across the table, his face a mask of suspicious consternation. "You state here that your contact is a high-level aide in the United States Department of Defense." "That is correct," Prevlov nodded respectfully. "He became disillusioned with the American government during the Watergate affair, and has since sent me whatever material he deems important." Antonov stared piercingly into Prevlov's eyes. "Do you think they can do it, Captain Prevlov? Raise the Titanic?" Antonov nodded. Prevlov stared back. "If you will recall the Central Intelligence Agency's successful recovery of one of our Soviet nuclear submarines in 17,000 feet of water off Hawaii in 1974, I believe the CIA referred to it as Project Jennifer. There is little doubt that the Americans have the technical capability to put the Titanic in New York Harbor. Yes, Comrade Antonov, I firmly believe they will do it."
"I do not share your opinion," said Polovoy.
A vessel the size of the Titanic is a far cry from a submarine. I have to throw in my lot with Captain Prevloff, Sloyuk argued. The Americans have an annoying habit of accomplishing what they set out to do. And what of this Sicilian project? Polevoy persisted. The KGB has received no detailed data concerning its existence, except the codename. How do we know the Americans have not created a mythical project to play a bluffing hand at the negotiations to limit strategic nuclear delivery systems? Antonov rubbed his knuckles on the tabletop. The Americans do not bluff. Comrade Khrushchev found that out 25 years ago during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We cannot ignore any possibility, however remote, that they are on the verge of making this defense system operational as soon as they salvage the Byzantium from the hull of the Titanic. He paused to suck on his pipe stem. I suggest that our next thoughts be directed toward a course of action. Quite obviously, we must see to it that the Byzantium never reaches the United States, Marshal Tilevich said. Polevoy drummed his fingers on the Sicilian project file. Sabotage. We must sabotage the salvage operation. There is no other way. There must be no incident with international repercussions, Antonov said firmly. There can be no suggestion of interference through overt military action. I do not want Soviet-United States relations jeopardized during yet another bad crop year. Is that clear? We can do nothing unless we penetrate the salvage area, Tilevich persisted. Polevoy stared across the table at Sloyuk. What steps have the Americans taken to protect the operation? The nuclear-powered guided missile cruiser Juno is patrolling within sight of the salvage ships on a 24-hour basis. May I speak? Prevloff asked almost condescendingly. He did not wait for an answer. With due consideration, comrades, the penetration has already taken place. Antonov looked up. Please explain yourself, Captain. Prevloff took a side glance at his superior. Admiral Sloyuk acknowledged him with a faint nod. We have two undercover operatives working as members of the Numa salvage crew, Prevloff elucidated. An exceptionally talented team. They have been relaying important American oceanographic data to us for 2 years. Good. Good. Your people have done well, Sloyuk, Antonov said. But there was no warmth in his tone. His gaze came back to Prevloff. Are we to assume, Captain, that you have devised a plan? I have, comrade. Maganin was in Prevloff's office when he returned, casually sitting behind the captain's desk. There was a change about him. No longer did he seem like the common bootlicking aide that Prevloff had left only a few hours ago. There was something about him that was more certain, more self-assured. It seemed to be in his eyes. Those insecure eyes now mirrored the confident look of a man who knew what he was about. How did the conference go, Captain? Marganyan asked without rising. I think I can safely say the day will soon come when you will be addressing me as Admiral. I must confess, Marganyan said coolly, your fertile mind is surpassed only by your ego. Prevloff was caught off guard. His face paled with controlled anger, and when he spoke it required no acute sense of hearing or imagination to detect the emotion in his voice. You dare to insult me? Why not? You undoubtedly sold Comrade Antonov on the fact that it was your genius that arrived at the purpose of the Sicilian project and the Titanic salvage operation, when in reality it was my source who passed along the information. And you also most likely told them about your wonderful plan to wrest the Byzantium from the Americans' hands. Again, stolen from me. In short, Prevloff, you are nothing but an untalented thief. That will do. Prevloff was pointing a finger at Marganyan, his tone glacial. Suddenly, he stiffened and was completely under control again. Intent, urbane, the true professional. You will burn for your insubordination, Marganyin, he said pleasantly. I will see to it that you burn 1,000 deaths before this month is through. Marganyin said nothing. He only smiled a smile that was as cold as a tomb.